And when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because they do not believe in me. About righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. And about judgment because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Now, I want you to keep these words in John's Gospel in your mind as we move on through the message today, because I'm going to come back to them at the end and apply them to what I'm getting ready to talk about. I want you to think with me for just a minute. Churches have all sorts of confusing rules. Just take a look at the United Methodist Book of Discipline. It's a very thick book, and it gets thicker and thicker and thicker with every general conference. You go from year to year, and you think you know what's in the rule book, and you find out you don't know what's in the rule book, or they've changed what was in the rule book, or you just learned what it was that you were supposed to do, and then they change it, and you do something different. General conference can be a confusing and frustrating time. From general conference session to conference session, from quadrennium to quadrennium, the rule book gets thicker and thicker. I'm going to tell you something. As we learned in confirmation class, the rules are really simple. The rules that matter, the rules that are important, are really simple. In fact, there are only three. Huh? Yeah, there are only three. Now, I'd have to silence Cynthia over there, but I could ask, what are the three general rules of the church? I could ask this at annual conference, and probably 3/4 of the clergy would stumble over themselves and not be able to answer it. Most congregations can't answer what are the three general rules of the church. But guess what? Our confirmands can answer that question. Our confirmands can answer the question because we talked about it and we drilled on it and we went over and over it again. And I warned them that on some Sunday I would ask. So be ready to answer. And we have one with us here in second service today. What are the three general rules of the church? Give them to me one at a time. Do good. To do good. Well, that seems kind of self-explanatory, doesn't it? That's too easy to be a general rule. It is. Okay, number two must be much more complex than that. What's the next one? Do no harm. Do no harm? Well, that's easy too. I mean, do good takes two words. It seems self-explanatory. It has to be complex, but do no harm isn't any more difficult. What's the third rule? Maybe that's the complex one. What's the third rule?
Stay close to God.
Stay close to God. The order that John Wesley usually articulates them as: do no harm, do good, stay close to God, stay in love with God, stay in a relationship with God. Do no harm. If you think about it, it seems incredibly easy. But in point of fact, it's incredibly difficult. At annual conference, the clergy will get together and we'll do a whole lot of harm gossiping about each other. Churches do that too, by the way. We know that you do that. We do it too, about y'all and about each other. We do it all the time. It's terrible. We do tons of harm. Open mouth, stick left foot in, pull harm out, and slap your brother or sister with it. That's what we do. That's what we do. Doing good, well, That's a little easier because it's a little easier to do good. It's really hard to do no harm. It's a little easier to do good. Little. Pequeño easier. Tiny, itty bitty easier to do good than to do no harm. But it's the third general rule that gives power to the first two. Stay close to God. By staying close to God, we learn what it means truly to do no harm. By staying close to God, we learn what it means truly to do good. By staying close to God, we can live the general rules of the church. The confessing movement in the United Methodist Church. I have a friend of mine. He's pastor of one of the more progressive congregations, and he has been appointed to be pastor of one of our more conservative churches, one of our confessing churches, where they talk about the importance of confessing the doctrinal standards of the denomination, the articles of religion and the confession of faith, and how important it is to make sure that those articles of religion and the confession of faith are front and center in the life of the church and the life of the clergy, and that you should be able to stand there and say, I believe these points of faith and will practice them. Now, on the surface, there's not a lot of problem with that. It's where it gets applied that is the problem, and who gets to do the interpreting that's the issue. But he's going from a church that was highly progressive to a congregation that's more conservative, and he's afraid. And I says, why don't you bring up a piece of the doctrinal standards that usually gets ignored in confessing churches? They like to talk about the EUB Confession of Faith and the Methodist Articles of Religion, and that's good. But what about the three general rules? What about the three general rules? And he said, what are those? I said, pull them out. Make your first series of sermons there, because he's a series preacher, not a lectionary preacher. Make your first series of sermons there on the three general rules of the church. Part of their confessing list, things they're supposed to affirm and confess. Preach to them on the three general rules. Do no harm. Do good. Stay close to God. How do you stay close to God? John Wesley was a sacramentarian. He was accused of magnifying the sacraments. Baptism and communion were very important to him. He would celebrate communion every day if he could. They would have the Eucharist every time he was in a church pulpit. When he was professor at Oxford University, they would have communion on a daily basis. He would have communion with his students on a daily basis. You look at the ledger for celebrants of communion at St. Mary's Chapel there at Oxford University, and it's amazing the number of times during his tenure there as a lecturer, the number of times he presided at the table. He viewed staying close to God as a function of the means of grace. The means of grace. We talked about that in our confirmation classes. Prayer. The scriptures and the reading of scriptures and the studying of the scriptures. Studying the Christian faith in general. Fellowship together. Service. Worship. Building habitat houses for humanity is an example of a means of grace. Giving is a means of grace. Holy Communion is a means of grace. An instrument for receiving the love, the presence, the power of God that enables us to do no harm, do good. We stay close to God when we practice the means of grace in all their many manifestations. How do you stay close to your family? Do you go visit them? Yeah. Do you communicate with them on the phone? Yeah. Do you go by email and communicate all the time by email like I do with my brother? I can't talk to my brother five words put together on the phone, but he and I will share emails all week long. And then there are family members that you don't want to have communication with. We know them. Amen? We know them. We'd rather not have to communicate with them. They're annoying. They're troubling. They say things that you don't want to listen to. You get together and get a couple of beers into your cousin, and he starts saying things and telling jokes that you don't want to hear. We all know the kind. How do you keep out of a relationship with them? You avoid them. You ignore them. You don't call them. You don't email them. You stay away from them. You stay close to God by partaking of the means of grace, fellowship, prayer, scripture, worship, service, giving, remembrance of baptism, communion. All of these instruments, tools, means, are ways by which we stay close to God. We stay in a relationship with God. Now, with that in mind, let's bounce back to Scripture. As I told you, we're going to go back to that. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. I'm going to put to you that there we have doing harm, doing no harm, doing good, doing no good, staying away from God or staying close to God. Look at it. About sin, because they do not believe in me. I believe we do harm because we truly do not believe that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, is the Lord of our lives. That Jesus in his ethic and his teaching and in his life and in his death and in his resurrection is the ruler of our living. We don't truly believe that God is in charge, and therefore we do harm to others. Rather than trusting that in the end God is in charge, we would rather do harm, get our pound of flesh. We would rather sin. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. Jesus goes to the Father, is ascended to God on high, transited out of this existence, whatever that might mean. We talked about that last week. And therefore we become the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the lips of Jesus in this world serving others. We become a means of grace for others to receive the love of God, to know the presence of God. And therefore, doing good is expressing the righteousness of God to others, the love of God, the presence of God to others. The world denies the presence of Jesus in the life of the church. We are called to express the presence of Jesus in the life of the church by doing good to all. By doing good to all. And thirdly, about judgment. Because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Who is the ruler of this world? It's the one or ones who would separate us from God. It's the one or ones who would say, you can't be close to God. You're not worthy of being in the presence of God. You're not worthy to come to the table of the Lord. You're not worthy to be in the church. You're not worthy to study the scriptures. You're not worthy to pray. You're not worthy to be considered a child of God. You might as well stay away and not become involved because you have been judged guilty and you're going to hell. That voice, often identified, given the name of Satan, the accuser, that's what the name means, that voice is an evil voice that would exclude you, me, anyone that doesn't fit a particular mold would exclude us from the family of God. The world would say, God judges you, guilty, go to hell. We proclaim, Christ Jesus died for the world, died for us, and welcomes all into the family of God. We proclaim, Jesus Christ came into this world to show forth the love of God for all. And we do that by doing no harm, by doing good, and by staying close to God. And we can stay close to God by participating in the means of grace and expressing to the world the true judgment of God, which, because of the cross, is not guilty. Not guilty by virtue of the cross. Oh, my sisters and brothers, the rule book for many denominations like ours may be thick. We think we have it bad in the United Methodist Church with the Book of Discipline and the Book of Resolutions. Take a look at canon law in the Roman Catholic Church. It takes a couple of shelves. And that's in tiny, tiny, itsy-bitsy little print. No. The three general rules are neat. They're easy to get your mind around. But they're not necessarily easy to live. I encourage you to think with me today and in the coming week. Where in your life have you done harm? Where in your life have you done harm? Why have you done it? Confine it. Confine it to this past week. Where in this past week have you done harm to another? Why? And if you truly believed in the mastery of God over yourself and over your sinful ways, would you have done it? Where in your life have you failed to do good? I'm looking back at my past week and I'm getting uncomfortable right now, because I can think of a bunch of ways that I have done harm, especially on the phone talking with a friend. And I can think of a bunch of ways that I failed to do good. And it would have been so easy to do good. And in both circumstances, I can look and see that I did those things because I failed to stay close to God. Take an opportunity to think. Take this opportunity in the prayer time to think about where in your life you have stumbled. Where have you put the cart before the horse and tried to do good and do no harm without partaking of the means of grace and being a part of the life of faith? Where have you failed and done harm and done no good? I can remember standing before Bishop Blake before I was ordained a deacon, 1991. Standing there at Floral Heights United Methodist Church in Wichita Falls. And Bishop Blake was going through the questions that are to be asked of those to be ordained. Leo, you remember those questions. And he was going through the questions. And as he was asked the question, and it would be a general question to all of us, and we would answer yes or no, he would then pick one of us to amplify on the question. Do you truly believe in the articles of religion? And then you have to go through the process. And he would ask them to name some of those articles. And I'm sitting there going, please God, don't let him ask me a hard one. Please God, don't let him ask me a hard one. Please God, don't let him ask me a hard one. And God answered my prayer. He comes to me, do you believe in the general rules of the church and will you practice them? And we all said yes. And he looked at me and he said, name the three general rules of the church. The easiest question, Aaron. And my tongue swelled up in my mouth. And I could remember the formula for the consubstantial humanity and divinity of Jesus, but I couldn't remember the three general rules. I remembered the first one, do no harm. Do good. And then after stumbling and fighting over my answers, finally stay close to God. It's simple. It's really easy. Stick with the three general rules of the church and you can never go wrong. Stumble up on the complex doctrines and you'll go wrong every time. Stick with the three general rules and you can never go wrong. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.